You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 22, verse 20, where we left off last time. Genesis chapter 22, verse 20. Now, last week, God gave Abraham an amazing test, but he gave his son Isaac an amazing test, too. There was the father and the son, and both were being tested. God told Abraham to take his son, his only son, whom he loved, Isaac, take him up to Mount Moriah, which today we called Golgotha, where Jesus died, and put his son on the altar and sacrifice him. Well, Abraham knew that God said, Isaac's going to have a son, so he's got to live, because through Isaac's genealogy is going to come the Messiah, the Savior of the earth, and we know him as Jesus. So Abraham obeyed God. He even put the wood to build the altar on Isaac's back. Do you remember that they put the wooden cross on Jesus' back as he walked to Golgotha? Same thing with Isaac. And so they went up there, and Abraham put Isaac on the altar. And Isaac did not whimper, did not say one word. At the last minute, God stopped and said, it was just a test. You do not have to offer a sacrifice of Isaac. Now, this was also a great test for God our Father and for his son Jesus. It was a great test of Father's love to send his only son, Jesus, whom he loved, to pay our sin debt. And it was a great test for Jesus, the Son, as in Isaac, who for the joy set before him went to the cross, and he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, yet he opened not his mouth. So we see both men obeying their father. Abraham obeyed Father God, and Isaac obeyed his father. And Jesus says, I do nothing except what I see the Father do. Now, we've got that done. And we're going to find out that Isaac is growing and Isaac needs to have a wife so that the Savior, the Messiah, can come through that genealogy. Isaac needs to get married. So we're going to need a bride for Isaac. So we're going to get a little bit of genealogy here, but it's just going to show us that Abraham's family is expanding because he can't take anyone of just any race or creed or anything. God loves all of his people, but he wants to keep the seed line pure so his son Jesus can come through that lineage.
Pastor Billy, my voice. 19. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together unto Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. 20. And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she hath also borne a child unto thy brother Nahor.
Now, we remember reading earlier that Abraham had a brother, Nahor. So this is showing us that the family is increasing. In other words, there's going to be more people, more women to choose for a bride for Isaac.
Huz, his firstborn, and Buz, his brother.
Now, if any of you are going to have twins, name them Huz and Buz.
And Camara, the father of Aram. Verse 22. And Chez and Hazor, and Pildash and Jodah, and Bithuah, 23, and Bethuel begot Rebekah.
Underline that. Bethuel begat Rebekah. Enter Rebekah. Rebekah's name means ensnarer, the ensnarer. Sounds wicked, doesn't it? No, it means Rebekah is so warm, so loving, so vivacious, so kind. She can't do enough to help you that you can't help but be ensnared by her. You just have to fall in love with her. So don't forget Rebekah. Remember, we need a bride for Isaac so the Messiah can come through. That's Jesus.
These eight did Milcah bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother. 24, and his concubine, whose name was Rimmah, she bare also Tabor, Caham, Kahash, and Mahasha.
You go home and memorize those names, okay?
Chapter 23, verse 1.
Now, a whole chapter is devoted to one woman whom God loved here.
And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. 2, and Sarah died in Kirjath.
She was 127 years old. She was 100 when she had Isaac. People lived longer then, and she was very beautiful at 100. So that makes Isaac 27 years old and a bachelor. He really needs a bride, but it's time for her to go home back to God. Now, Sarah had finished her mission on earth. God sent her to this planet for one purpose, to marry Abraham, and that through her womb would come Isaac, through whom would eventually come the Messiah, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, Jesus. That was her purpose. She finished her purpose, though she was very old when she had him. See, just because it looks too late and too bad and too sick and just impossible doesn't mean you can't finish it.
Amen.
Each one of you was sent here, and there's a mission and there's a purpose for your life. It wasn't to get married and have a job and make some money and have a car and have fun and have vacations. It was here to show forth the glory of God and to bring as many people to Jesus Christ as possible, to get the truth out to everybody you meet, one way or another.
Amen.
Don't you dare leave until you finish your mission.
Amen.
Father, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan.
Now, I want you to know that this is in Hebron. You've heard that place on the news, have you not? There is a place right now in the land of Israel near Jerusalem called Hebron. Remember that.
And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her.
He loved her. This is his helpmate.
3, and Abraham stood up from before his dead and spoke unto the sons of Heth, saying.
Now, the sons of Heth actually mostly owned all of that land. Abraham was very, very rich, but he was sojourning there. And they were very, very rich, but they had great respect for Abraham. But his wife just died. He's going to need a place to bury her.
I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you.
Now, he's not asking for a free one. In other words, I want to buy a place to bury my wife.
That I may bury my dead out of my sight. 5, and the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, 6, hear us, my lord. Thou art a mighty prince among us.
See, they admired him. They loved Abraham.
In the choice of the sepulchres bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee.
Choose any sepulchre you want, a cave, any place. You can have the best. We'll just give you any burial place you want.
Sepulchre. But that thou may buries thy dead.
Because we know you want to have a good place to bury your beloved Sarah.
7, and Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even unto the children of Heth. 8, and he communed with them, saying, if it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me. And entreat for thee Ephron, the son of Zohar.
What I want you to do is, since you said I could bury my dead here, Sarah, I want you to bring forth Ephron. Abraham knows that Ephron's got a cave And Abraham's been eyeing that cave, and that cave is in Hebron.
Nine, did he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field.
In other words, that cave's on the end of his property. He doesn't use it. I would like to buy that cave from Ephron.
For as much money as it is worth, I shall give it.
I don't care what the price is, says Abraham. God had blessed him, he's very rich. I'll pay the price.
To me for possession for a burying place amongst you. 10, and Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham and the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of his city, saying, 11, nay, my lord, hear me. The field give I you, and the cave that is therein, I give it you.
We don't want to sell you this. We'll give it to you. We love you. You don't have to pay us. All of us know how that feels. We try to pay somebody and say, no, you can't pay me for this. But watch Abraham stand his ground. Watch out for the free stuff. While this generation might say it's free, what about the next generation might not let you have it for free, and then you're in trouble. All of these socialist candidates running for the president of the United States of America, they're offering you a free vacation, luxury, free college education, free home, free car, free job, but you don't even have to work. It's all a hoax. You're going to wind up a little peon slave, and they're going to control you. It's a lie. There are a few free lunches. I give those. And I respect the person. But most of the time, when somebody gives you something for free, they begin to lose respect for you. You need to pay your way. There's a time for a helping hand to people, and we do that, and that is so beautiful. But we don't ever hold anybody accountable for that. If a person is disabled or handicapped, that's another story. But pay your way.
Amen. In the presence of the sons of my people, give it I unto you.
I'll just give you this, Abraham. I'm not going to charge you any money. I'd feel badly to do that.
Bury thy dead. 12, and Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land. 13, he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, that if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me, I will give thee money for the field.
How much money, Ephron? Abraham's standing his ground. You see, Abraham sees destiny here. He knows that he's going to bury Sarah, but he also knows that eventually he would need to have be buried somewhere, and Isaac. So he sees destiny, and he knows God has promised him the land. So what he needs is a deed. He needs some kind of proof.
Take it of me, and I will bury my dead. 14, Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, 15, my lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee?
You're so rich, Abraham, 400 shekels of silver won't even hurt you. And I'm so rich, I don't even need it. But if you insist on paying, okay, we want you to bury your beloved Sarah.
Bury thy dead. 16, and Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham weighed unto Ephron the silver, which he named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant. 17, and the field of Ephron, which was in the Lech Parah, which was before Mamre, the field of the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that when all the borders round about were made sure.
In other words, not just the cave, but the tree, the whole property there. Made sure means he got the deed. It was surety. It was made sure. Now, this cave of which we're talking is what in the Bible is called an acrostic. An acrostic in God's word is something God puts in there as a secret, and he expects you as his child to search it out. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the honor of kings to search it out. Now, right now today, in that same place, in that cave, if you were to go in and see the remains, you would find the remains of Isaac, Sarah, Rebecca, Abraham, and Leah. Isaac, I, Sarah, S, Rebecca, R, Abraham, A, Leah, L, Israel. Hallelujah. How about that? So Abraham has got the surety. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah was given that deed. And God told Jeremiah to put that deed in a bottle and bury it right there near Jerusalem in the land of Israel. It's still buried there today to prove that God keeps his promise. Do you understand just this story? If anybody didn't believe the Bible, this was long before Jesus came the first time. And there it is right there. When Jesus comes a second time, I bet you somebody's going to dig up that bottle. Now, when you got saved, God gave you a surety. He sent you the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit is your surety. The Holy Spirit is your down payment that you've been saved. And do you know how the Holy Spirit feels so good? You know that wonderful feeling when he touches you? You know that?
Yeah.
Yes, amen,
yeah.
Sherry. Yeah. Yes, you do. Well, if it's a down payment, just think how it's going to feel when we're in our spiritual bodies and we get the full shower of his anointing. Why, eye has not seen, he is not heard. Now there's in the heart of man the things that God's got prepared for us with that anointing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But you got a down payment. Every time you feel that touch of the Holy, whoo, Holy Spirit fall right now.
Amen.
That's just a down payment of greater things to come.
18, unto Abraham for the possession, and the children, the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in unto the gate of his city.
The gate is called the judgment seat. It's the payment. That's where they would go and handle business. So Abraham's doing this legally. Always do things legally. Don't try to find free ways. They do it legally and right, and you won't get into so much trouble.
19, and after this, Abraham buried Sarah and the wife of the cave of the field of Machpelah in the field of Mamre, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. 20, and the field that the cave that is in therein were made sure to Abraham for possession.
He got the deed. It was his. And see, we have that place today, and it's called the cave that Abraham bought. In Genesis chapter 49, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, asked that his remains be carried there and buried there. Do you know that perhaps you've noticed on the news, there have been battles right there fighting over that cave. So, I mean, this shows that God's word is true, although we know that, don't we?
Yes. Yes.
Of the burying place of the sons of Heth. Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age.
Well, Sarah died at 127. Abraham was 10 years old, so he's 137.
And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things.
He was very rich. He was very respected. He loved God. He was called the friend of God. And God had given him a son in his old age, Isaac, through whom the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus, would come.
Verse 2. And Abraham said unto his eldest servants of his house.
Now that would be Eleazar. You need to know the eldest servant's name. Back when we were in Genesis 15, Eleazar's name was mentioned. Eleazar was born into Abraham's household. Abraham was very rich. He was the son of one of Abraham's very trusted servants. And Abraham loved him like a son. And before Abraham had Ishmael by Hagar the Egyptian, and before Abraham had Isaac by Sarah, he had suggested to God, Abraham had, that maybe that Eleazar would be the seed through whom Messiah would come. Now you want to know this, listen carefully. Eleazar in the Hebrew means the same thing that Lazarus, remember Lazarus rose from the dead?
Yes.
Over in the Greek means, it means the resurrection of the priesthood. The resurrection of the priesthood. Whoa, keep that in mind.
That ruled over all that he had.
In other words, Eliezer took care of all the books and the money and the appointments. He was very trusted by Abraham.
Put thou, pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Verse 3. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven.
This was a custom in families, the hand under the thigh. It meant that what you're going to about to promise me to take an oath, you're never going to break this. Your word is true. There's not anything in the world that could make you break this promise.
I'm the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Verse 4.
So he said, I want you to promise me, Eliezer, you've got to find Isaac a wife now. The Messiah is going to come through Isaac. It's got to be the pure Adamic race. I don't blame God. I'd be picky too if I was sending my son out, wouldn't you? What had happened? There had been a second influx of the fallen angels. I taught you that in Genesis 6. Those of you who didn't hear that, get it on the internet, WMIEFM.com on demand. And those fallen angels had refused to be born again, which means born from above. They came without coming through women, and they married the beautiful daughters of the man Adam and had giants. Everything was polluted. So right there where Abraham, there'd been a second influx of them, so the seed line was polluted. So Abraham said, do not get a wife any of this. Isaac's got to have an equally yoked. You know, you need to always make sure when you get married, you're equally yoked. And it's not just one area. It's every area.
But thou shalt go into my country and to my kinsmen and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Verse 5. And a servant said unto him, peradventure the young woman will not be willing to follow me. Unto this land must I bring again my son to the land which thou camest?
He says, Sir Abraham, what if she won't come, even though God leads me to the right one? Should I come and get Isaac and take him there?
6. And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou not bring my son thither again.
No.
7. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spoke unto me, and which sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence.
There goes that beautiful, believing God's word, Abraham. It didn't matter what the story was, what God told Abraham, Abraham believed. And see, you can do the same thing. Don't try to figure things out for yourself. It's not a logical thing. It's not even a common sense thing. Just believe God's word. He said, God called me from Ur of the Chaldees, where my father was. And he told me, I'm looking for a city, not made with hands, but made by God. And the Messiah's going to come through my son Isaac. So he said, since God's going to have his son come through my son Isaac, God's going to get the right woman, and the angel will go before you and will give you the right person. Don't you love Abraham's
Amen.
Faith?
Amen.
You can have the same faith. Just believe God's word, no doubting.
Verse 8, and if the woman be not willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear of this my oath, and bring not my son thither again.
Abraham was not wavering in his faith. He was just trying to make Eliezer feel good. He doesn't come, you don't have to keep the promise, but he didn't mean it.
Verse 9, and the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master and swear to him concerning that matter.
Now, how about you? In the first earth age, in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, world is Greek eon age, there was a beautiful covering cherub named Lucifer. We know him now as the dragon, the serpent, the devil. Now he's evil, but he was good at that time. And the Bible says that all of you and all of us, everyone who's ever been a human or going to be, we were all with God in a spiritual body. We were one with God. There was no sin, no death, no pain. We're all created at the same time. It was really a marriage. Job 38, God says, the stars, as children of God, minus the flesh, we danced and sang and shouted with him. It was a oneness. See, what marriage is oneness. See, the world's got it wrong. You think it's a man and a woman having sex and having babies, and this one says, I don't get along with you, and I don't get along with you, and I don't believe like this, and I'm going to wash the dishes, and you cut the grass. No, no, no. Marriage is oneness, one mind, one heart, one purpose, one spirit, one goal, one thought, hallelujah,
amen,
and one love and one God. I mean, totally equally yoked. And so what happened, we were all married in essence. Forget sex. There was no men or women. We was neither male or female. We're the children of God. But when in Isaiah 14, Lucifer rebelled and said, I will be God, he overthrew the kingdom, and he deceived one-third of God's children. Remember, we're all in the spirit body. Revelation 12, they followed him. That brought sin into the equation. So the oneness was broken. The marriage was gone. We were divorced from God. God got upset about it. Now, he had a little small group there that didn't betray him. They fought the devil, and they're called the very elect. God says, I'm going to smash this first earth age, and I'm going to make everybody a flesh body. Let us make man our own image. And I'm going to send you out the second earth age with a memory forgotten to choose Jesus or to choose a devil, that little elect to come out and bring the oracles of truth in that. In other words, I'm going to send a high priest who can forgive your sins. Ha ha ha. And so he sent his son Jesus, our high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, whoever lives to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7 and Romans chapter 8. And on it goes. And he sent him, and Jesus was raised from the dead. The resurrection of the priesthood. That's Eleazar. And then he sent the priest to bring back the bride, to find the pure bride. And you see, God wanted his bride back. But the bride's not pure. But when Jesus' side was pierced, and out came the water, and out came the blood, oh, when that side, out from that side, then came the bride. That's you, men and women. Jesus is the bridegroom, and you are the bride. That makes you whole again, so we can go back to this oneness with God.
Amen.
Do you see the beautiful story here?
Oh, yeah.
This whole story. Everything is God's beautiful story. It's the greatest love story ever, ever, ever told. How beautiful it is. So God sends the high priest, Eleazar, to find a bride for his son Isaac. So he's found you, and he's purified you. You're of the right seed, the right genealogy, because he did a blood test on you. It's Jesus' blood that's washed away your sins. And now you're free to marry. When Jesus comes back at the seventh trump, the Bible says there's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus is the bridegroom. We're the bride. God blessed me a couple of years ago, and I have visions and revelations of the Lord. Don't give me any glory for that. I was born with it. It just helps me to understand things better. God took me in the spirit, and he opened the door to heaven. And I saw all these beautiful tables, all decked in beautiful, shining, white linen tablecloths. And all of the tables were so gorgeous. And they were decorated with burgundy flowers and candlesticks. And there was a hustle and bustle, not chaos, a joyous excitement. And the thought came to me, because in the spirit thing, you don't even have to say it. You just can read somebody's thought. It came, we're getting ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Amen.
Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah. A bride for Isaac, a bride for Jesus, a bride from the blood that came from his side. We'll begin right there next week. I hope you people bless you. It's time now for a mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. Let me introduce to you, man of God, my twin friend, the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. What a great teaching tonight. That's great stuff.
God's word.
Yeah, amen. God's word. Okay, one of our questions tonight. What is the unforgivable sin?
The unforgivable sin is mentioned in Luke 12. It's called blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. No one has committed it at this point. When the Antichrist comes, he's coming at the sixth trump. We're the latter part of the fifth one now, sixth event. When the elect are delivered up to him, the whole world will worship him, but only the elect won't. When we're delivered up to him, if we refuse to let the Holy Spirit speak through us what he wants to say, that's the unforgivable sin. Only an elect can commit it. And I don't believe an elect will. I think we're going to be locked and loaded and ready to say whatever God wants us to say. So that's it. Only an elect, it would be to refuse Holy Spirit, to let the Holy Spirit speak through you when you're delivered up to the Antichrist. Don't be afraid of that. Not one hair of your head shall be harmed.
That's right. Okay, our next question. Somebody wants to know, how could a serpent impregnate Eve?
How could a serpent impregnate Eve? First of all, it was not a serpent. It's a metaphor, figure of speech. Revelation says the serpent is the devil, the dragon, Satan. It was an angel, a cherubim. An angel is a young man, and they could make firm. Eve, as Paul says in Corinthians, was wholly seduced, beguiled. And of course, the fruit of that innocent relationship was Cain, the first murderer, the father of the Kenites.
Okay, our last question. How do you pronounce the sacred name?
The sacred name of the Lord, L-O-R-D in the Hebrew, is Yahweh. It's the Hebrew Hebrew alphabet, Y-H-V-H. By the way, we studied the Hebrew alphabet on Wednesday night. Y-H-V-H is pronounced Yahweh. Want to say it? Yahweh. Okay, it's not Yahweh and it's not Jehovah. There are no J's in the Hebrew. You don't go to hell for saying it wrong. But since he's the love of our soul, since we're the bride and he's the bridegroom, let's get his name right. You want to wonder how to pronounce the one you're going to marry. Okay, Yahweh. Thank you. Well, David left his stuff in the cart and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Satan wants to get the upper hand. But this is the time to plant your heel on the enemy's head to stop him from transforming you into his image. Instead, as you deal with your trials and difficulties through the anointing, you will be changed into the image of Christ, gaining authority and dominion.
Praise the Lord. It was actually every trial we had just builds up our faith muscles. We get stronger and stronger. And what a testimony, just like Mark just gave his testimony. Now you're famous, Mark. You're on radio. Just gave his testimony. Look at all that he's overcome, and all of you, everybody in here. David has overcome, many of you. And every time you overcome, it's a great testimony. Well, I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick, so gather your sick loved ones around the radio or internet. But first, let me pray for anyone who is lost. If you will pray this prayer with me and mean it, God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Even to the mystery of God.
Even to the mystery of God.
And use me.
And use me.
To increase the kingdom.
To increase the kingdom.
Of Jesus Christ.
Of Jesus Christ.
From this time forth and forevermore.
From this time forth and forevermore.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Scott's going to give you my telephone number, and if you were saved then, please feel free to call and leave a message on my voicemail. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Jesus is still alive, and Jesus still heals, and I am such a witness to that. He'll heal you too. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings, right down into the gut, where things are churning and disturbances and out of order. Peace, be still. laser beams of Jesus light going in there, repairing, restoring into all of the blood vessels and all of the organs and the tissues of the blood, even to the stomach be settled in Jesus' name, kidneys be healed, colon be healed, digestive system, perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, perfect elimination, no overaction nor inaction, strength and vitality to your bones, run and not be weary, walk and do not faint. Praise the Lord, you shall not die but live and declare the works of God. With long life will he satisfy you and show you your salvation. Peace be still. He sent his word and healed you. He restores health and cure to you, and he will bring it health and cure. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. God bless you. Now, some of you are healed, so feel free also to call and let me know that and claim your healing. I thank you so much for listening. Nothing is given to you to keep, so make sure that you take these jewels and go and share them with someone else. Remember Revelation 19:13. Jesus' name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. I love all of you, and I thank you so much for listening. And I love the fact that you love God, and I love the fact that you love his word, and I love you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now until next time, I want to say thank you to Scott Merson for being our announcer and for his wonderful Scott Scuff.
Thank you, Michelle.
This is Sherry Medlock, your host, today saying I want you to join in next week, and I can't wait until then when we gather together as a happy family to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
Come, let us sing for joy. Come, let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us sing. Come with a thankful heart into his presence now to make a joyful noise to him. Come, let us sing. In his hands he holds creation, highest mountains, deepest seas. And on his hands he bears the scars of his great love for you and me. heaven and creation ring with your song.
Oh, great God, give us rest. Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
have seen the beauty of the mountains, stood in awe at the depths of the sea. I have wondered at the stars and the heavens, oh, but nothing compares to thee. Nothing.
You're listening to WMIE Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
If you are committed to God and He allows you or leads you into a dilemma, He wants you to watch Him work.
Dr. Tony Evans says the Lord has more in mind than just changing your circumstances.
God just doesn't want to deliver you. He wants to change you as He prepares to deliver you.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When it feels like you're out of options and your circumstances are about to swallow you up, there's always a way out, or at least a way through. And today, Dr. Evans will talk to us about how to hold on till it comes along.
and how to recognize it when it does. Let's join him.
If I said to you, remember the Alamo, you would understand what I meant. You would reflect back on a massive event that took place that became the rallying cry of the Battle of Texans against Mexico. If I said, remember Pearl Harbor, you would know what I meant. A rallying cry in World War II as America responded to the events of Pearl Harbor. Israel had an event that became the cataclysmic point of remembrance in their lives. It was the sine qua non, the core event